Now, I love the church. I love praise and worship. I love God. You know what I mean? I hope that we all love God, or we come to a place where you love God, that you're not afraid to just let, you know, your emotions go, or just let the Holy Spirit just to have his way in your life, because there comes a breaking when the Spirit shows up, all right? Because it's the anointing of God that destroys the yoke and removes the burdens off our lives. The things that are too heavy for us to carry, or the things that we pick up in this life, that's only when God shows up, bam, that them things go off you and then you're set free. Amen? Amen. So men, all right, it doesn't make you less of a man that you cry, all right? Because God uses that to open you up and to break you wide open into to who you really are. Because some of us carry too much of this world and too much of things in our life, and it only takes the Spirit of God to free us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So just give me a couple minutes and we'll get back. I'll get my composure. But it's always good. I just love it. I'm just a God junkie, I guess you can call me, or whatever. I love those times in my life when God shows up in my life. And not just here, in my home, my family has witnessed it. Kiana has witnessed it. You know, that when God is on me, he's on me. You know what I mean? And you just go and let God be God. Amen? Because he is. He's going to be anyway. But it's up to us to just let him be what he wants to be in our life, because he knows the plan. He knows what it's going to take for each and every one of us to get to the place that he wants us to be. Amen? And the place that he wants us to be is Romans 8:29, of whom he foreknew, he also predestined for us to be conformed into the image and likeness of his son. Amen? So God's going to use everything within this physical earth to move you into that place where you start walking, talking, and acting just like Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
Whatever it takes. So we could either, let me move this. So we could either yield to the Holy Spirit, we could either yield to God or allow him to do it with a hostile takeover. So the choice is yours, because it's going to happen one way or the other. Okay? But the choice is definitely going to be yours. Okay? So if you want them hard-headed children, okay, it probably will be a hostile takeover. But it's still going to be done in love. Amen? Let us just pray. Eternal Father and our God, we're truly grateful and thankful for this day. Oh God, we thank you for all things through Christ Jesus our Lord. We thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit that has already been demonstrated here today, oh God. So, Holy Spirit, you are the one in charge. Jesus said that you would lead and guide us into all truth. So as we yield to you, dear God, just open our hearts, dear God. Take our hearts and our minds off all the things that trouble us, all the anxieties, the fears, the doubts, all them things that are not of you, dear God. And let us just bask in your presence, that we may be what you created us to be. And we ask it all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise be to God. Just one thing I got. This week starts Bible college. Me, Kim, my wife, and myself were, and Suzette, that's right. We all were part of Community Bible Institute, which is now Savona V. Roberts Christian Education Academy. All right, we all graduated. We are all instructors. So Bible college is going to start Tuesday night. If there's anyone who have an interest in understanding more about your Christian walk, you could come and see us after class, or you could just show up Tuesday night and we will talk to you and give you more information. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God is good. Woo! Ha! What a mighty God we serve. Amen? All right. Today I'm going to attempt. You know, I had it down, but God just took care of all that. I thought I had it down. See, being a preacher, God's a funny thing. Sometimes, you know what I mean, God just lets you roll. Sometimes God gives you everything. Sometimes God gives you absolutely nothing until you step up here and then bam, all right? Because he wants you to know, I'm God, you ain't God, all right? And sometimes with all our education and all that other stuff and all our praying and all our reading and everything, we think we got it going on. God says, that's not it, okay? But I thank and praise God, all right? Today, I'm going to attempt to talk about fulfilling the Great Commission. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Oh, you're in there. That's right. Wake up. I know it's early, okay? You only done had some coffee. Because I want you to understand this about the Great Commission. One thing I feel, in essence, is that's one of the things that the church is losing, all right? The essence of the Great Commission, what God commissioned his church to be, all right? A powerhouse, a force within this earth, amen? This is not a message about defeat, all right? We're going to pick up in this 16th. Okay, I'm still trying to, please forgive me, I'm still trying to gather myself, all right? It's a good thing, though, not a bad thing. All right, in Matthew 28, the Great Commission, it starts in verse 16. So if everybody wanted to turn near your phones, however you want to do it. Verse 16 said, then the 11 disciples went away to Galilee to the mount which Jesus had appointed for them, all right? It says, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. All right? So this is a commission that God gave to the church. All of us who say we love the Lord, all of us who say that we are bona fide, blood-bought, born-again believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. How many people in this can make that statement? That I'm blood-bought, born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just three of you, huh? No, I'm only kidding. All right? So this is for you. This is for the church. You have to understand, this is not about defeat. This is a pronouncement of victory. You understand that? Because after this, you got to remember, the disciples were in the garden with Jesus. They fell asleep. All right? And then when they came and took Jesus, they all ran. But Jesus, fulfilling what God had sent him to do, brought a pronouncement to them that all power over hell, death, and the grave is now mine. And you are all part of it because you are my disciples. You are my disciplined learner. Remember, Jesus had called them. Yes, I'm going to say I was talking about following Jesus. When he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus took them on a 3-year apprentice course to show them the principles of the kingdom. Okay? Because all authority belongs to God. All of it. Genesis 1:26 says, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let them have dominion over the works of our hands. Dominion means rulership. We forfeited it, or Adam and Eve forfeited it, the day they disobeyed God. But because of Jesus and because of the cross, guess what? And the resurrection and his ascension, guess what? We now have our authority back. And that's what Jesus was teaching his disciples. You got all authority. Now I want you to go move. I want you to go change nations. I want you to turn nations into nations that are going to be up under my lordship and my rulership. Amen? That's the power. That's the authority that you have. Now, whether you access it or not, that's totally up to you. That's up to you. But according to this word, Jesus said, all authority is now given to me. Now you therefore go. All right? Not sit. He said go. Christianity is a moving force. It's an army. You have been enlisted into an army of bona fide believers that have authority and power over sickness, over illness, over disease, over emotional stuff, over your mind, over your body, over everything. Nothing should have authority over you. The Bible says that in Isaiah 54:17, that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. He didn't say that the weapons will not be formed, but they're not going to be, they won't prosper. Why? Because of who you are in Christ. I know we quote a lot of scriptures. I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me until a bomb hits in your life. And then we start shaking and rattling and rolling and all that other stuff. But the reality of it is it doesn't matter what happens to you, you have authority over it. Sometimes you just need to step back and say, wait a minute, where's this coming from? All right? And then say, now, Holy Spirit, what are we going to do about this? Because Jesus said, you have all authority. You have all power. All right? And another thing we have to understand that in John 15, Jesus said, speaking to his disciples, said, I chose you that you should go and yet you should bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. All right? He chose you. Before the foundations of the world, before the world was even spoken into existence, you were chosen in God. Amen? Each and every one of you. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. This is not just for the old folks, young people. Okay? Because you are at more odds than we ever were in life. This generation is at more odds than any generation that's ever been on the face of the earth. But it still doesn't change the mandate. It still doesn't change who God is. We still win. Amen? That's why it's important as a body of believers that we teach our children who they are. Because you got all types of people infiltrating the school system, teaching them who they are not. So if you're going to send your kid to public school, if you ain't going to homeschool them, if you're going to send them to public school, you better make sure they have a good foundation in the Lord Jesus Christ and who they are in Christ to combat all that, because that's the job of the church, that we are to go forth and to make disciples, okay? The mandate for Jesus, when he told his disciples, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. They were taught to be disciples, disciplined learner of the teachings of the word of Jesus Christ that came from the Father. Remember Jesus said, I don't do anything that I don't see the Father do. I don't say anything that I don't hear the Father speak. And we have to be the same. God has given us 66 books, right? This Bible, 66 books on how God thinks about every situation and circumstance that deals with life. He's the author and finisher of life. Amen? He's the giver of life. So if he's the one, and Isaiah 29:11 says that I know the plans that I have for you, plans of good and not of evil, plans to give you a hope in the future and an expected end, then we need to go and ask him what the plan is. Amen? Because if you don't have a plan, you need to ask somebody a plan. Because you have to understand, it said that God took man and formed him from the dust of the ground. All right? Everybody know that's in Genesis 2? Everybody understand about the creation? He took him and formed him from the dust of the ground. Now understand this. I'm a builder. All right? So I understand about forms. I understand about pouring concrete into a form. And I understand that whatever the size of the building, I know exactly what I have to put inside that form in order for that building to stand. All right, is everybody with me? Whether it's a single story, whether it's going to be a two-story, whether it's going to be a 10-story, or whether it's going to be the Empire State Building. As a builder, all right, the architect gives me a blueprint. I just can't build according to my knowledge and my skills of all these 30-some years in carpentry. I have to build it according to the architect's blueprint. Everybody understand that? And you have to understand, if you're going to build your Christian life, if you're going to become a disciple maker, then you have to do it according to the architect's blueprint. All right? So understand this. So therefore, if God formed man from the dust of the earth, that God put everything you're going to need inside you when he formed it. All right? And the devil's job is to make you think that you ain't got nothing. That's his job. So instead of asking God for this and that, say, God, show me what you have placed inside of me so I can deal with this situation, so I can deal with the circumstances. Because it's like Prego. It's already in there. Remember that commercial? They came out with the spaghetti sauce so you didn't have to cut everything up. They put it all in it. That was their mantra, right? It's no different. Where you think they got it from? God. It's all in there. Amen? So we have to understand that as believers, because if it wasn't that, then Peter would not be able to say that he has given us all things that pertain to life and to pertain to godliness. All right? It's in there. And as believers, we just got to refocus and align ourselves with the word of God. It's all about alignment, all right? It has to be a season in your life. We're in a season of fall, okay? Seasons change. There's going to be different seasons in your life. But the seasons in your life should come from revelation, all right? In your different seasons, God's going to reveal different things in your life as you grow, as you mature, as you grow up. Because Ephesians, Joshua's teaching in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians 4:11 says that he has given to the church some apostles, some prophets, right? Some teachers, some evangelists, and some pastors, right? For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. If you are part of a believing body, there is work. Not just show up every Sunday to hear, okay, the praise and worship team to make you fall out like I did, okay? Not for you just to come and to give, you know, your tithes and offerings, because you should, because that's what God commands us to do, correct? To understand that I am a part of an army. I am part of a body of believers with authority and power to change my house, change me, first of all, to change relationships, to change marriages, to change neighborhoods, to change cities, to change states, to change nations. That's who you are. And you have to align yourself with that. As a pastor, I can only teach it. It's up to you to align yourself with it. Amen? Same way with Jesus. Jesus came and taught. Jesus didn't save everybody. Why? Because they didn't want to align himself with what he was teaching. It wasn't that he didn't have all power. He could have just, whew, okay? And everybody would have came into conform with what he was saying. But that's not what relationship is all about. Relationship is about aligning one another to become one. That's what marriage is all about. That's why people have such a hard time with it. Yeah. All right? Because it says the two become one in our thinking, in our finances, and everything else. But that's not what we're talking about. We're going to have Brother Ray and Sister Ray deal with that. That's not my lane, okay? That's their lane. But my lane is to help you to think about the Great Commission, what it really is. The empowerment of the church and what it is designed for us to do. Paul said that we are ambassadors for Christ, which means I don't carry my own little briefcase. I get a briefcase that says, this is it. When we have ambassadors that go into the world, right? They don't go on their own agenda. They're there for the United States agenda, no matter what it may be, correct? So therefore, Paul could say that we are ambassadors for Christ. We don't have no agenda. We got God's agenda. And God's agenda is that you go and make disciples. That's God's agenda. God's agenda for each and every one of us that call us for a believer to get ourselves in a place of understanding, getting ourselves in a place of learning, get ourselves in a place of going to home group. When we have special speakers that come and speak to us so that we can learn, go to conferences, and learn who you are in Christ to be able. You can't make what you are not. If you can't cook, you need to stay out the kitchen. Right? Because you're going to mess everything up. Ain't nobody going to eat. Right? That's a simple principle. It's the same way in our spiritual. Listen, there is no different compartments in your life. What we try to do is we try to have the little church life. We try to have the little home life. We try to have the little job life. We have the job this. All these different lives you're trying to juggle, which you don't understand. It's like scrambled eggs. It's all one life. But out of that one life, the center is Christ. So everything I do, it's out of that center. Amen? Because that's what caused the confusion. Because you think you got all these separate lives. No, you got all one life. And it's hidden in God, in Christ. So you need to ask him what I need to do. But Jesus made it very clear. All right? So to fulfill, all right, he said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them, okay, to observe. Right, this ain't the first commission. Joshua had a commission. Remember Joshua, right before he was getting ready to take the children of Israel over into the promised land? Joshua 1:6. He says, be strong, confident, and of good courage, and you shall cause this people to inherit the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous that you may do according to all the law. And that means teachings and instructions. Okay, which Moses, my servant, commanded Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left hand, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law, this book of the instructions or in teachings, okay? When you see that thing, law, put instruction and teaching, it's going to change the way you think about the law. Because as soon as you hear law, you think bondage, everything else, okay? I'm being entrapped. You're putting your law on me, okay? When you understand that he's talking about my instruction and my teaching, it changes the whole thing, okay? So this book that he's talking about, this is the architect's blueprint for our lives. This book of the law, this book of instruction and teaching shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate, which means think and consider in the day and night, that you may observe. To observe, okay, means to notice, to perceive something and register it as being significant. Until you allow this Bible to become registered and you perceive that it is something that is significant in my life, you're always going to be struggling. Until this becomes the final authority in your life. I don't care if it's the president. I don't care who it is. This is the final authority because he's Lord, he's King over everything. Over this country, every country. Why? Because he created it all. Revelation said that our God, the kingdom of our God, will take over the kingdoms of all this world, right? So we're the ones that has to help him to establish and to build his kingdom. Amen? It also means to fulfill or to comply, to abide by, to keep, to adhere to honor, to respect, to follow, and to accept. You have to accept the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether you like it or whether you don't. Okay? When you say yes to Jesus, that means you give him authority to speak into your life. Your whole life. Everything. Everything about your life. And as believers, that's what we have to understand. But if we ourselves are not observing, if we ourselves are not observing the teachings of Jesus Christ, how are we going to teach anybody else anything if we're not observing what we have been taught? Amen? We are the first one. The Bible says judgment comes on the house of God first before it hits the world. God is going to always, you can read the whole Old Testament. God always judged his people first before he judged the world. Always. And he said, I am the Lord and I change it not. Just because it's 2018, I don't think anything has changed. It's the same God. Amen? But we have to understand that he said, teach them to observe, not only observe, but to do according to all that is written in it. For then, which means at that time or shortly after, you shall make your way prosperous and you shall deal wisely and have good success. See, the thing of it is, we have all the information about God. We have the word of God and we even hear the word of God because we ain't got a hearing problem. We got a listening problem. Amen. Because you hear, all of us have been in that spot. You done heard mama talk. You done heard papa talk. But you kept doing your thing until they snuck up on you and pow, right? Then things changed after that. So you can understand who you are. You know, some of us was a little bit hard-headed than others, right, Ern? Okay? So it took a little more licks to get into the place where we understand. That's why Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And the only way that you're going to know God's voice in this situation, circumstance, in this mandate, is to listen what the word of God is saying for your life. God, where do I plug in? What is the giftings that you have placed inside of me that's going to help this ministry to become all that you want it to be? How many want to be part of that? Okay? I always say there's only one Pastor Don, and thank God for that, right? But all of you have giftings and callings. All of you have special gifts that only you can do. I'm in my lane, okay? This is what I do. I found out who I am through a lot of trial and error, struggling, falling down, getting back up. But I finally understand who I am, what I've been called to do, okay, to preach and teach. That's right, okay? You know, God has called me into my calling. All right, so it's very comfortable for me to do it. All right, I don't know it all, but it's very comfortable for me to do it because I know this is what I've been called to do. Amen? And each and every one of you has giftings to be part of this body that you have connected with yourself to make this body grow and to edify and be what God has called us to be in this area, okay? To be a light before we get up on the hill, all right? Because if we can't be a light here, we sure enough can't be a light over there, amen? We have to do what we got to do here while we were small to get everything in place, all right? Because you have to understand it this way. A lot goes into place before Chicken of the Sea gets that little can on ShopRite shelf. Okay? There has to be somebody waiting for the bolts to tie them up before they get in. Right? Frank's a fish man. He'll let you know. All right? Somebody has to tie them boats up to the dock. Somebody else has to help them unload. Somebody has to separate the tuna from whatever else is they done caught in there, all right? Somebody else got to do their job. There's a lot that goes into it before the final product of Chicken of the Sea, Star Kiss, or whatever your brand is, hits that shelf. Do you understand that? And the church is the same way. If we are going to fulfill the Great Commission and to do exactly what Jesus said, we need people to say, okay, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to do it. I didn't know what I was doing. I got called. I was like, okay, I'll do it. But God surrounded me with people who would teach me. All right? God put me in places where people corrected me. See, Christianity ain't all about this little love thing. And as soon as somebody says something to you, you get offended and leave the church. No. All right? God brings people like sandpaper to rub that little edge off of you. All right? So if you can stand a little bit of rubbing, the Bible says iron sharpens iron. When you take two of your knives and pull them together, they get sharper. All right? When somebody's rubbing up on you in a godly way, loving godly way, you become sharper. You understand? And that's what God's design is, because all of us need to move into the place of discipleship. But if we don't push ourselves and place ourselves in the place where I can be taught, I cannot teach nobody else nothing. Or you shouldn't be teaching anybody else nothing. That's how all them cults and everything are able to do what they do. Everybody's looking for something. Everybody's looking for love. They're just looking for it in the wrong places. And we are the love people. Why? Because we serve a God of love. Amen? And he has designed his church to change the world. All right? And comparing the Great Commission where Jesus promised to continually build this church, we must conclude that he intended for his church to always be spiritually militant and evangelistically aggressive as we take his claims of the lordship into the entire world for our generation. All right? Jesus ain't just Savior. He didn't just come to save you and you go to heaven, you just skipping along waiting. Okay. That's not it. You're part of an army. Okay? And he said spiritually militant. Paul talked in military terms. Jesus talked in military terms. Why? Because the Roman army was so powerful, all right, that they used the analogy of an army to spiritual things. Amen? Spiritually militant, which means I got to go to boot camp. That's why the army and all them, before they put lethal weapons into people's hands, they mentally evaluate them and watch everything. Why? Because you become a force with deadly weapons. Look at the apostles. Look at, I always tell people this. Peter, John, and James were not the spiritual of the whole 12. Okay? No, they was not. Peter, you didn't know what he was going to do. Whether they're going to burn the church down or whatever. John and James, when they did not want Jesus to preach in Samaria, they said, listen, should we rain down fire like Elijah did? They didn't ask us, Jesus, show me so we can rain down fire. They said, should we? Right? So them boys knew their potential. So Jesus said, no, you three are going to hang out with me. I can't leave you alone. Mm-mm. I ain't leaving yous alone. I didn't see that you getting it. Because Peter was the first one said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So he's getting revelation from God. And these two, sons of thunder, they called them. They get ready to nuke everybody that don't go along with their program. Sort of like us sometimes when people don't like our program. Oh, okay, I got something for you. But that's not God's design. God's design that everybody comes into the knowledge of the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's why God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that none should perish, that all come into the knowledge. Nobody's going to come into the knowledge unless the church stands up and be who we are. Okay. And listen, we have a leader. Listen, one of the messianic prophecies in Isaiah 55 and 4, it says, indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, as a leader and a commander for the people. All right, we have a leader. You ain't got to go looking for no leader. If you call yourself a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is your leader. That was a prophecy, Isaiah, 800 to 1,000 years before Jesus even hit the earth. You realize that? When you read the book of Isaiah, this guy prophesied 1,000 years before Jesus even hit the earth to the detail of everything about Jesus' life. That's one of the messianic prophecies, that we have a leader. See, because the Great Commission, a commission is an instruction, a command, or a duty given to a person or a group of people. A group of people officially charged with a particular function. We have been charged as the body of Christ to go into this world and to make disciples. All right? Baptizing them. Because that's what baptism is all about. All right, that they understand that when they go down in the water, it's representation of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. You go down as a dead man, you wake up as a live one, all right? Because if we have been united in his death, we should also be united in his resurrection, amen? And rise in the newness of life. You shouldn't go down in that water and come back being the same old person that you are. That's what it is. That's what baptism is. Baptism is just an outward show, okay, of your inward faith in Christ. You're saying to the world, I'm not putting my faith in anything else that I've known before I've come to Jesus. I am now putting my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And that has to be something on the inside that works out on the outside. I remember when I was down in Riverview Baptist Church, we used to sing this song, Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. All right? Because if Jesus is truly working on the inside, then there should be a change in your life. Somebody should not see the same old person you was before you gave your life to Christ. All right? And also, we have to understand that Jesus said in John 14, 23, when they asked him, Jesus answered, if a person really loves me, he will keep my word, obey my teachings, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we will make our home, our abode, our special dwelling place within you. It's when you are truly obeying God is when you're truly showing that you love God. Anybody can say that I love you, all right? The Bible says in Romans 5:8 that God demonstrated his love towards us. That while we were yet sinners, Christ went to the cross for us. See, love is a demonstration. You can tell me you love me all the time, but if you treat me contrary to what you say, that's not love. Amen? A husband can tell his wife he loves her, okay? But if he's abusive physically, mentally, verbally, that's not love, okay? That's not love. That's the world's love because they have a misunderstanding what true love is all about, okay? Love is sacrificial. How can we say that we love God, all right, who sacrificed anything and we're not willing to sacrifice anything? See, if not, then we're still operating in that sinful nature, that selfish nature. It's all about me, 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 me. What about me? What about me? But we have to understand from God's perspective, I gave my best so that you could come back and be your best because I created you to be the best in the first place. Amen? So if you look at the history of creation from God's perspective, that God created us to be the best. It was only through the fall of Adam, okay? It was through the fall of Adam. Even David, if you read Psalms 59, David at 51, David said, in sin, my mother conceived me. He understood what was going on with him, with that thing with Bathsheba, okay? That's why he said, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit within me, because he knew something had gotten in him that changed his heart, that changed his spirit in order for him to do what he did. He was a lover of God. He was called a man after God's own heart, okay? So I don't care how much you talk in tongues, flip over the banisters and, you know, everything else. If you ain't sure of who you are, the enemy can creep into you and have you doing things you ain't supposed to be doing. But once you're rooted and grounded in the love of God and understand what Jesus did for me when he climbed up on that cross, because Jesus said to some people, he asked them a question in Luke 6:46, he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" He asked them a question. So it makes me understand that we need to ask ourselves the question, why do I call him Lord, Lord, when it's convenient? Or I want to show off. I want to show everybody how spiritual I am. But I don't do the things that he says. Amen? That's the acid test for each and every one of us, myself included. I can't call Jesus the Lord of my life. Not me, knowing everything that I know, being a Bible teacher, teaching everything else, and I don't do what God is saying to do in every area of my life. No, no, no. That's not the way this thing works. We have been commissioned. We have been commanded. Okay? We have been commissioned and commanded. Here's the last thing I'm going to say. All right? In Psalms 1, verse 2, we're starting. It says, "Serve the Lord with gladness, before his presence with singing. Know that he is God, and it is he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are the sheep of his pasture." Anybody not unclear with that? Okay? Paul said, listen, your life is not your own. You've been bought with a price. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. You have been bought, well, you have been redeemed, brought back out of all that mess that we used to be in by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So therefore, you can no longer say, well, the way I think about it or the way I feel about it, because it ain't about the way that you feel about it or the way that you think about it. It's the way the one that created you to be conformed in his image and in his likeness. Amen? Yeah. That's what true Christianity is all about. You die to yourself. I am dead. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live. Have been. Past tense. He's not saying, I'm getting ready to go tomorrow, guys, and I'm going to act like Jesus on the cross. He said, no, I have been. I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, because he didn't get his spiritual body yet, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live for him who loved me and gave himself for me. So the question becomes today, am I living for Jesus Christ each and every day? Am I aligning myself? Ooh, I just went up, huh? That's all right. You caught it too, right? Am I aligning myself with the cross of Christ? Is there still things in my life that I still have to die in me where I am Lord and he is not? Amen? Yeah. Remember, church, this is a process. You're not going to get it all together on this side of heaven. It's going to take all eternity for us to recognize who God really is. We are just scratching the surface of who God really is. That's all we're doing. But it doesn't mean that we live lives that are out of order. It doesn't mean that we do our own thing. Because like I said, we have a leader. We have a commander. Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will lead and guide you into all truth. You have somebody. God is not going to leave you alone. He said, lo, I'm with you always to the end of this age, which means the end of the world, which means as long as you need assistance and you ask for it, God's going to give it to you. Why? Because his spirit now lives inside of us. Amen? But it's up to us. Church, listen. It's in my heart. It's in Josh's heart. It's in Chris's heart. It's in Dan Ray's heart, the pastors, the leaders of this church, our wives, that we take this area for Christ. But it's going to take revival in your heart to line up with the things of God. Revival starts with you. Revival don't start with all that. It starts with you. One person that says, you know what? I'm going to make sure that I'm sold out for Jesus. No matter what, I don't care what my friends are doing. I don't care what my family's doing. I don't care if they don't like me. I don't care if they call me Holy Roller. I don't care what they say about me. That I'm going to make a decision that I'm going to be sold out for Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Because that's what it takes. That's what it takes. People just need a light. They need to see somebody that no matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstance, you still reflect the light of Christ. You give them hope in their hopelessness. That you are the one that speaks life instead of death. They're hearing enough stuff about death. The Bible says death and life are in the power of your tongue. So therefore, we need to check our conversations. We need to change our conversations to make them line up. But we have to get in our heart from this day forward. I want to be a disciple maker. God, whatever that takes, that's what I want to do. Let us rise to our feet. Let us rise to our feet. Gilly Muda. Because I want you to introspect. Close your eyes. Everybody just close your eyes for a minute. So you don't think nobody's looking at you. Okay? Just close your eyes for a minute. And I want you to introspect. Look at your life. Think about your life. And I want you to think about, where am I at with my walk with the Lord? Hearing all that, what God requires of me out of the love which he showed towards me. Where am I at? And if you know in your hearts of hearts that I'm falling short of being a disciple of Christ, not even a disciple maker, okay? Just put your hand up. Just put your hand up. Okay. Well, praise God. At least you're honest people. All right? Because that's what it's all about. That you're honest people. And you know that it's a process. But you got to make a decision today that I want to get in the process and I want to be what God you intended me to be.